Good morning, everybody. Shkach to everybody for coming. Dova b'itir ma'atoiv. We're coming up to Chodesh Tammuz. And the swarm all right that Chodesh Tammuz and Chodesh Av is special times to ensure and to work on your own Kedusha. The Meraglim were sent out Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, it says, through the month of Tammuz, and they had a Vayasuris Ha'oretz, improper touring and looking and seeing things in a negative way. So it says in the Svarim that we're supposed to rectify that through the month of Tammuz and make sure that the Lois Surach Levachim Vachir Nechem is complete, L'Shem Shemayim. So, when that thought came to mind of this topic, I had to put in a great deal of thought as to the right person to be able to come and speak about this in purely halachic terms, that there should be klar, everybody knows, not telling you chumris, not telling you shtik lechtayra, chasidus, prishus. Going to tell you exactly what's the halacha, mar mekaymis, and then what avada bal nefesh should do and the other inyone, but it should be very, very clear in a positive way, and all roads led to Rev Smith, whose tremendous hasmad is only matched by his zeal for avodas hakodesh and to try to help Yidden steig in whatever way possible. So I wanted to thank Rev Smith for coming out. It's someone who I've seen over time, literally doesn't waste a minute. I've never seen anybody quite like him. So, without any further wasting of his time, Rev Smith.
Someone asked me a while ago a question that started my thinking process. He was going to do a dvar mitzvah, and he had to travel in a place that might have to compromise on his shmiras inayim. Should he go or not? And it really caught me by surprise. You know, we spend time learning Hilchas Chanukah and Hilchas Erev Pesach Shechal B'Shabbos, and things that come up not that often. And here's something that's negeya for 3 or 4 months of our lives. Something as vital as Shmiras Hanayim, that as the Rosh Kohel just mentioned, is the basics of Yiddishkeit. Do we ever learn about it? Do we know what's doing the sugya? And I want to tell you that my respect for the Rosh Kohel has always been very, very profound, but when he broached the subject that we should talk about this, I saw a real leader, someone that does what's right. It's not the most conventional topic, but I want to tell you it's going to be the most beautiful, hopefully the most uplifting, and halachic perspective. And there's a matan schara betzida. It's a beautiful sugya, like every other sugya. It's a sugya that spans through shas and poiskim. And I want to be magdim, and the Rosh Kohel took the word out of my mouth, that, you know, you talk about Kedusha, Rapam once said, Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva was Kadosh b'chol minei Kedusha, b'chol minei Tahara. Ashrech Rabbi Kiva, Guf Chator b'chol minei Tahara. There are levels in Kedusha, there are levels in Tahara. What we're going to talk about today is the bare minimum. Just the halacha. Of course, someone wants to do more, tavo lecha bracha. If someone feels slighted that he could do better, adarabba, do better. But we're going to discuss the halacha and the machma tavo lecha bracha. A while ago, I had to look up a sefer derech sicha, Rav Chaim Kanievsky in Parashat Kedoshim, about a subject that was negated to my shir. And on the other page, I guess by mistake, but everything, nothing is a mistake in this world, I saw a very attractive question. Someone had a military assignment in Eretz Yisrael, and then he was transferred. He was given the following opportunity. He was given a desk job, which means we're sitting in an office, sitting in a barracks, and doing the work. But it had to compromise on his Kedusha, on Shmira Sanayim. He had a choice to go to the front lines. And I kid you not. Go to the front lines and be busy. Of course, not in the front line. It wasn't an active war, but go to active duty, which would be a situation of potential pikuach nefesh mamish. So the shoyel, the one that asked Reb Chaim this question, marshaled proof from a Gemara. The Gemara says in Erevin that Yud Chesamad Beis Hamiratza Mois Liisha Miyode Liyode Keli Listakel Ba. If someone gives money just to be able to get a glance to look at the other woman, Afilu Yesh Biyode Toiru Maisim Toivim Kemoishu Rabbeinu. Even if he's great as Moshe Rabbeinu, La Yenake Medina Shel Gehenim. Now, when I saw this Gemara, it literally sent a shudder down my spine. We're talking about a Moshe Rabbeinu, as the Meiri points out, a Sholem Shebeshleimim, but if he's guilty of a staklus, La Yenake Medina Shel Gehenim. Obviously, his staklus is not a frumkeit. It's not just for people living in Meya Sha'arim, that's basic Yiddishkeit. In fact, the Gemara adds, Achayri Ariv or Achayri Isha. A person should rather walk behind the lion than walk behind the woman. And as the Mashal explains, if it's a choice, stay away from Istaklus. And I must not tell you, this is a question of walking behind the lion, and we're not talking about a stuffed lion. It's a real lion. And the Gemara says it would be preferable to walk behind the lion and hope for the best, better than walking behind a woman that challenges your Shmira Sinayim. And you start to get the feeling that, you know, maybe his staklus might smack from Yehareg Valyavar. And then you learn the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Fayin Hei, where someone had a terribly improper thought, and the doctor says he needs to do something improper. And the Mara says, all he has to do is look at the woman and that will perhaps heal him. No, no, no. He shouldn't do it. And this prompted the Shoyel to ask Rav Chaim, you know, maybe he should give up the office assignment and take the more dangerous mission. So Rav Chaim said that in Halacha, his staklus is not Yehareg Valyavar. In fact, if you look in the Meiri on that Gemara, B'derech Tzachus V'Ha'ora, it's just to emphasize the severity, the importance of Shmira Sanayim, but if push comes to shove, it's not actually Yarg Vayavar. Rav Moshe in Eveneza Aleph Nunvav was actually asked point blank this question. Is the Issa of Istaklis to the level of Yarg Vayavar? And Rav Moshe said no. I, the Gemara in Sanhedrin that we mentioned, that the person had to give his life and not look at the woman. So that is actually, as the Gemara really implies, Shalai Benois Yisrael Kehefka. A person can't decide he likes this woman and he'll do what he wants because otherwise he's going to become ill. We don't play around with Yiddish women. But Rav Moshe does rule, as Rav Chaim Kanievsky apparently felt, that Istaklis, although it is a serious Issa, it's not Yarek Vayavu. So until further notice, please don't, you know, fight with a lion, just walk carefully and watch what you're doing. Rav Chaim did advise the person to work at your desk and work in the office and just, you know, keep your eyes focused. We are equal to the challenge and we could do that. The Gemara says in Brachis Daf Chav Dalet, HaMestakel Be'etz B'Ktana Shel Isha Kilo Mestakel B'Mokam Toiv. In other words, Histaklus is a real Issa. Now someone asked me, is it real? So I told him, I have yet to find a fake Issa, but this is real. You know, the Gemara by Dezora, it's interesting how the Chazal were very focused. Daf Chof says the Gemara, Ma'isab Shimon Gamliel, that he saw an Akum Novi Yoisa, and he exclaimed, Arabu Masech Hashem, look at the Baruch Hashem created such a pretty woman. So we would say, wow, look at Shimon Gamliel, how he was a Torah-oriented person, he saw something and he made a bracha. Frek the Gemara, he saw something and made a bracha? What about his staklus, Frek the Gemara? So the Gemara says, no, no. He didn't look. It was a Karen Zavia situation. He came to a street, and he met the woman. She was coming this way, and he was going this way, and he met, and he saw for a second, and that was enough to impress him of our beauty, and to see the Nefloi Sabari, and he made a bracha. But to me, it just highlights how real this is. We don't compromise. You want to make a bracha, thank Hashem? So, do it properly, but you can't do it at the expense of Shmiras Hanayim. What's the source of the Issa of histaklus, of looking? So, we say it three times a day, like, Sur Achrei Levavchem, V'Achrei Enechem. Rashi Alatar explains, as the Gemara in Brachas, Daf Yud Beis, this is the source of the Issa, not to let your eyes wander, not to let your eyes roam. Of course, Re'iya, a casual glance, you go to the bank and there's a woman teller, that's Re'iya, that's okay. Histaklus is looking intentively, looking with a purpose. Now the Gemara says, it's also histaklo bekeshes, you know, I'll look at a rainbow. Yet the Shulchan Aruch says, haroya keshes, you make a bracha. We're not talking about someone that violates the Gemara. Histaklus in the keshes and in the rainbow is asa. Roya, looking, is okay. A person's walking the street and he meets someone. You know, of course you have to try to look in a way that it is least tempting, but looking is one thing. Histaklus means looking attentively, looking intentionally, and looking with a objective. Rabbeinu Yoina in the Igeres Tshuva Yud Ches Osla the Mistakel Beishas Ish Min Atarish Shenema Vleis Surach Ilevavchem VeAchrei Einechem and Kol Mistakel BeIsha Machshil Koyach Yitzri Atoiv VeHoidai Nehefach LeMashkes. And to me, I think the most important word of Rabbeinu Yoina, one of the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Yoina, one of the Gedolei Apoiskim, is that word, hoidoi nefach. We have a beauty. We have something that is just so spectacular, so extraordinary, and it's called eyes. My eyes, your eyes, this morning I'm sure, feasted on a blat gemara. We're able to look at a vor Torah and see the anoichi Hashem Alekecha. See the Gemara ano nafshi kasavis yehovis. That the Baruch Shalom took Kaviyachal 100 times, his essence, his neshama, and put it into a Gemara, into a Mishtabura, into a Rashi, into a Siddha. And our eyes have the ability to translate all that Kedusha and internalize it. Our eyes are our Kodesh HaKadoshim. Our eyes that are able to look at a lulav. Our eyes that are able to see the beauty of a Chanukah licht. Our eyes that are able to see a Meshulach and realize that's an opportunity for me to make shekel into shekel HaKodesh. Those eyes are our hoid. Hoid v'hodar. Why do we taint it? Why should we want to taint it? Why should we sully the purity of our eyes? If the Goyin said, HaPeh Kodesh HaKadoshim, and what would he say about eyes? And that has to be maintained. The purity, the sublime ability of eyes to see Kedusha has to be carefully protected. It's not a printing error. It's rare the Mechaba says ma'oid ma'oid, but this is one of the places that he does say it. And the Mishtavura says it in Ayin Hey Zayin, Hamastakul Beisha, Afilu Be'etzvikatana, it's all Issa. But you know, to me it's always important, not the bad, 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 but the good, good, good. The opportunity to keep our eyes pure that we could enjoy the Blat Gemara a little more. And the Yaznidru in Chelik Yudalid, Simon Memtes explains, it's not just that, of course, looking sometimes brings the worst of Averis. A person come to Tumah Chas V'Sholem. That's what the Gemara says. In Shemarat B'Kol Davara, he shouldn't come to Tumah Balayla. But it's also an Issa Atzmi. In itself is an Issa. Even if a person is not going to do an Aveira. But I'm the spoil how the Shulchan Aruch, or better yet, Dalet Chelkei Shulchan Aruch. Imagine if I would have to give a preface, an Akdamah to Dalet Chelkei Shulchan Aruch. I don't know what I would choose. But I'll tell you what the tour, the great tour, the tour was the son of the Rush, and he was the father of Shulchan Aruch in a certain sense. He began the Shulchan Aruch. The Torah begins Dalet Chelkei Shulchan Aruch and Siman Aleph and Aruch Chaim with Kal Kanesha. Says the Torah, why is Kal Kanesha so important? You know, we're not eagles and we don't fly. You know, considering the traffic, we would love to be eagles and fly through the traffic, but we're not eagles. What does it mean, Kal Kanesha? Says the Torah, one of the Rishonim, just like an Anesha flies in the air and he's above the world around him, so to a yid she ta'atzim einecha mirois bira ki hu tchilas aveira sha'ayin roya v'alev chaymid uklimai segaymin. Rabbi Yid Taira, your introduction to Shulchan Aruch, or maybe I would say the prerequisite of Dalet Chelkei Shulchan Aruch, is keep that Kodesh HaKadoshim pure. Before you start anything, you have to have the kelim, that receptive keli, to enjoy ruchnius, and that's the eyes. And the Beis Yosef, in fact, says it even more profoundly, because if you don't have pure eyes, you won't have Dalet Chelkei Shulchan Aruch. It's again the prerequisite of everything. Watch your eyes. Imloy tatzim einechem rois bra'a. Ulay loisiya rotzkari lavoides boyrei, says the Beis Yosef. Of course, you're going to have reasons to do mitzvahs, but you're not going to have the rotzen, you're not going to have the desire to do Torah mitzvahs if you tainted your eyes. Beis Yosef calls it an avoin plili when someone doesn't watch his eyes. And indeed, in Aruch Chaim, from Ayin Gimel through Ayin Vav, there are various halachas about Shmira Sanayim during davening, during making a brachas. I'm always amazed, the Shari Tshuva quotes Halachas Ketanais, that when someone sees a person they didn't see for a long time, you make a Shechiyan. Okay, today this minig has been discontinued, but in theory, you see someone that you didn't see and you're happy with, you make a Shechiyanu. So, the Shari Tzion says, although the Halachas Ketanais says you see a man or woman, it has to be, a woman has to be a mother, a daughter, a sister, a wife, because if it's another woman, you can't enjoy the seeing of that woman. And if you are, you're doing an issa, so you can't make a bracha. So nothing was left, no stone was left unturned. The Mishnah Berurah saw halacha, and it had to carefully be scrutinized. Of course, you see a woman, you make a shechianu, but it has to be a proper re'iyah. You know, it's interesting, there's a big tumult in the Poskim, why women don't make Kiddush Levana. Some say, well, Kiddush Levana is Man Grama, it's only certain days. And Abishlai McClugger says that's nonsense. He says a very strong lashon, that's not true. Because when you see a Levana, you can make Kiddush Levana. When there's no Levana to be made, it's not Shaykh to make Kiddush Levana. That's not called Zman Grama. It's like someone says, Shechiyonu is Zman Grama, because you can only do it the first fruits. That's not Zman Groma. That means the other time he's not trying to do the mitzvah. So he says it's not a Zman Groma. So why don't women do it? So the answer given is because Kiddush Levana is done in the street. And it's improper for women to be stand as a public spectacle in the street. The Chassam Sofer says an incredible vort. Maybe we don't even appreciate the question, but really, Chanukah Licht is ner ishu beisai. The head of the household lights, and everybody else is yoitz. But the minig has become universally their issue, that we light mahajim and a mahajim. But we don't find that universally, that women or girls light. The husband lights, the father lights. Okay, some houses, the women, the girls do light. Many they don't. Frankly, some say, but why not? There's absolutely no difference in halacha between men and women regarding their Chanukah. So if men, all men, our boys, our sons, embraced Ner Chanukah, Mahajan and Mahajan, why are women different? says ich sam seif im sagt shabbes khafalef cuz chanukah licht the mitzvah was done pesach shus harabim and it's inappropriate for women to be again a public spectacle. I once saw, why don't we have make a big bas mitzvah like we do bar mitzvah? It's the same acceptance of mitzvahs. And again, the answer is, it's an improper chinuch. You're telling a girl to be the center of attraction if kol kfuda bas melech panima. So look how this concept, the woman should feel the importance of her of maintaining a low profile, how it impacted Allah. Isn't it something to think about? You talk about, you learn the Gemara at the end of Sukkah about the spectacular Simcha in Beis Hamikdash, the Simcha's Beis Hashayevel, Ra Simcha Meyamav. And yet the Gemara makes a point, they made a Tikkun Gadol, a very important Tikkun. What is a Tikkun Gadol? They made a machitza. They made a balcony, I should say. Because you could have the most derhoibin a simcha, the most exalted simcha, but the tznius level must be maintained. You know, it's interesting, we learn Masech Tiksubis about Kala Yoitze Behinuma, to identify her as being a psula, and we learned the Gemara, and we're satisfied. If you look in the Rishonim, and the Rishonim ask, what do you mean? Say like the Rosh in Ksubis, that Perek Beis, Simon Gimel, asks, who looks at a kala to know what she was wearing? You know, they were shining. I'm not talking about ultra, you know, people that are very, very extreme. Everything has to fit into the big picture. Our success is our Kedusha. Remember, Pam told us once, he was a young boy, and he read an article in a newspaper. I guess those days newspapers were, you know, not where they were today. And he said it left an indelible impression. There was a pianist that took out an insurance policy of $1 million. Pam said in Yiddish then, in Yenitzite, in those days, $1 million is given in my beya. In those days, $1 million was, you know, no, you know, a big amount of money. Today, you know, the chassan ones not from a share $1 million. But, you know, it must have been at least $100 million an hour level. What did he take an insurance policy out? On his fingers. On the dexterity of his fingers. Not on his life, on his fingers. So they asked him, $1 million on your fingers? So he says, what's so hard to understand? My success is my fingers, the mobility of my fingers, the ability of my fingers to perform. If I lose that, I lose everything. So it was a pregnant pause our palm made, and he says, and what do we Yidden have to take an insurance policy out on? What's our success? Kedusha. And Chazal made that insurance policy, and they were careful across the board. Kiddush Levona and Chanukah and Bas Mitzvah and Tikkun Gadol. You know, if we want the Klal Yisrael to endure Golus, there has to be that Kedusha. Sefer Chassidim, one of the Rishonim, Tav Saf Kuf Tzadik Aleph, one of the great Rishonim. He writes, a Rav should be careful to make a side entrance for his study. People come to ask him Shailas, because if he has to walk through the kitchen, the Shail will have to walk through the kitchen and see the wife, the daughters. You know, to me it was just uplifting and inspiring how this is, since time immemorial, our Gemara, our Rishonim, our Shulchan Aruch, our Chafetz Chaim were focused to maintain the highest level, to take the insurance policy on our Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Bach writes about making Sheva Brachas, make sure you do it B'Kedusha, and if there's preachers, you're not allowed to say the Bracha, Shasimcha B'Mo'oinai, because there is no Simcha by the Rebbeinu Shalom when there's a lack of Tznius. That's the Bach in Ebenezer, in Sheva Brachas. I saw an unbelievable tshuva. I don't think it's the gear to, I guess, to this island. But the Knei Boisim in Chelik Beis, Kuf Ches, he writes about those that have a mitzvah tans to make sure that there's a machitza, even by the mitzvah tans. Now, what's interesting to me was that he says a story there that he heard from someone who was there, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, the Rav Yerushalayim. had a son-in-law passed away, and he raised his granddaughter. And by a wedding, of course, he was like the Avi Akala, and yet he left before the mitzvah tense. So it was shocking. He was a grandfather, like a father, and she was Yisayma. How could he leave before the mitzvah tense? So they asked him, and he says, you know something? I got married after I was 20 years old. The Gemara says, if someone married after 20, he's behiruim kol, for his whole life he's with hiruim. I got married after 20. I can't handle this. So he left. I can't begin to describe what the Rabbi Chaim Zonneville was, that shtick kedusha that he was. But he knew the insurance policy has to be on his fingers, on his kedusha. And that's why, you know, ma'oit, ma'oit. It's interesting, the Gemara in Makkos, the end of Makkos, we all learn this, maybe we don't pick up the message. The Gemara tries to reduce Kol HaTorah Kula from 613 into a much smaller number. Bo Yishayim Amid L'Hashesh. And one of them is Va'oitzim Eina Mirois Biro. She'ena Mestakel B'Noshim. You could reduce and you could trim Yiddishkeit, but you can't reduce, you can't trim Shmira Seinayim. That's a non-negotiable. But you know what's beautiful? The Chinuch and Shin Pei Zayin, when he speaks about this sissa of Shmira Seinayim, Yishma Oda Michet, because you have to get really careful, and this is Yesoid Godol Bidas, because the Machshava Yisrois are Avois HaTumah. But then he adds something, I think is a tremendous insight, a tremendous Eitz HaTayva. He says, realize that looking is not satisfying. Dabini, and you should realize this, that Avera Gereres Avera. Im Tosim Daitcha Lamalas Tavascha, you'll look just once. There's no such thing as just once. Then it's going to Timshach Achrea Kamapomim. But, he says, Im Tiske Liyais Giba Ba'aretz, Lichvois Yitzicha La'atzame Nechem Reis Bura, Yekel Beinecha Lassis Kein Kamapomim. Uvehimonoi Yismach Bechelkoi Tomid Kol Hayoim. These are the most precious words, I think the most impractical, most practical insight in Shmiras Hanayim. Take a very selfish approach. It's not worth it. You know, someone's attitude is, I have, Baruch Hashem, what I have, I don't look elsewhere. He's a content person. He's walking, and he has his simcha, he has his fulfillment, he has his family, and that's it. When someone starts looking, so only once, and only twice, and only this, and only that, you know. Can we do that? Can a human being do that? The same Chinuch writes, even if the Yetzer gives you 1,000 cosigners, don't worry, you're okay. We know, I mean, I don't want to say this in this wonderful island, but even the highest elected government officials did the worst of errors in the most prominent place. And you think about it, you know, to me, people said it was the most devastating lesson in history, but to me it was a very inspiring lesson. If a person doesn't control himself, he could be the most influential, powerful person on this universe, but you know, we're out of control. And someone could live with a certain contentment. You know, I speak to the Bochum about this, and I say, you know, if your attitude is, I want, but I'm not allowed to, that's challenging. But if your attitude is, I want, but I want not to. I figured it out that it's just not worthwhile for Olam Hazeh. Forget about Olam Haba. I want to be happy. I don't want to be out of control. Or better, I don't want to be in control of anybody else. And that's what the Chinuch is saying. The Chinuch is saying, if you're a Giba Ba'aretz, you have what you have, and nothing interests you. But you start with one thing, there's no such thing. One thing to the next thing, at different levels, you know, and you know, unfortunately I can tell you people have called me, of course anonymously, the finest people have fell into the worst avarice. And it all begins with the attitude, and the chinuch's yesoid is penetrating. Shmir Seinayim is for you and for me. It's not for Olam Haba, it's for Olam Hazeh. It keeps us focused on what's right, and the world around us, the, with all its depravity, doesn't interest me, because that's out of my limit. That's, for me, that's an untouchable. That's an attitude. Because once you start, there's no end. The Gemara says in Kedushin, Daf Pei Aleph, talking about Amoraim, Rav and Rav Yehuda were going, and they saw a woman. So Rav told Rav Yehuda, Dal Karach Mikame Gehenim. Like, let's get out of here, but not get out of here. He referred to a situation, a trying situation, as Gehenim. And again, a very penetrating word. Not Gehenim of Yenevelt, it's Gehenim on this world. Because it's the beginning of an end, Hashem Yirachem. Oitzim Einav, the Pasuk says, Mirois Bira. Identify it. Call it Ra. Call it Gehenim. These are very key words. It takes you for a ride. The Gemara says about this desire, Mazbiyai Rav. The more you feed it, the hungrier it is. Marivai, if you say, no, I have what I have, and that's it, nothing else. Marivai Lashon Rav, if you hunger it, Sava. And there are thousands of eloquent testimonies of the truth of this Gemara, of people that live with Shmiras Hanayim. They are very satisfied people. And then you go in the world. I'm not saying to do this, because it will be a very depressing situation. The world around us that have lost all limitations and all barriers and all restrictions, this door that let loose, do what you want, has become a generation that depression, suicide, mental health is the most booming business. Do you ever wonder why? 100 years ago, we didn't have all these problems. Why today? Because once you start, you're never content. Once you have access to something and you don't control yourself, it's never satisfying. It's just more and more and more ra'av. And that's what the chinuch is saying. It's interesting, the poskim discuss if this concept of Shmiras Hanayim applies to women. So to me again, it was a matan b'schara to learn a sugya properly. You see the beauty of our Torah. In Svara, if Shmiras Hanayim is to maintain Kedusha, atu nashi leibayi Kedusha, so certainly logic dictates that women also should control their eyes. And indeed, that seems to be the implication of the Yalkut Shemayni. In Shmuel, one talks about Shaul, of course, was very beautiful, and the Yalkut says, Rabbi Yossi said, that they would look at him, Hayusavais Mimenu, they would look at him, Pasha, to enjoy his beauty. So the Yalkut quotes Rabbi Yossi, Im Kena Sisa Benois Yisrael Kizoinois. What do you mean? You're saying that the women in those days did Averis? Just like it's also for a man to look at a woman, so too it's also for a woman to lozun es eina eneha mi ish she'ena shaloi. They couldn't look at Shaul to enjoy him. So I saw the Chuas Shai, one of the daily apoiskim in Chelik Aleph Kuf Chafei in his Chuvas. He says, from here we see that the mechitza should be constructed in a way that women should not be able to see the men. Now what's interesting, somewhat of a mahapachu, the Sat Mirov and Divrei Yoyel in Chelik Aleph Simen Yud takes issue, and he says it's not true. The mechitza could be made in a way that we don't see the women, but the women could see the men. And his raya lechayra is a very strong raya from the word we mentioned earlier. The women by the Simcha Beis She'ev were put in the balcony, and presumably we didn't look up to see them, but they looked down to see us. Like it was made in a way to be user friendly that they could see us. And he has another raya. The Gemara in Brachas, we all know, Rabbi Yochanan would sit by the Sharei, by the mikvah, and the women should look at him and see his beauty and have and conceive children as beautiful as he was. Obviously, women looked at men. So to me, it was a little of an interesting question, because there's got to be a difference between looking at a Rabbi Yochanan with all his kedusha, or watching the proceedings by Simchas Beis HaSheva with all its kedusha, or coming to shul and be inspired by watching the Rav Davin or the Rashiva Davin, or what the Yalkut says very clearly, be saveya einaho, to look at a strange man to enjoy him. So both are true. A woman's allowed to look down at the men to be inspired by davening, by a simcha. But to look at a man just to enjoy, and Baruch Hashem, I found Rav Vozna in his Tshuva Sechelikei, in Shevelei Bekuv Tzadik Zayin, the Chutshani, that's from Nissen Karel Zayin Gesund, in Gimel Reish Samach Beis, has this explanation that it's not really a machloikis. So women are allowed to look at men casually, but again with intent, with a improper intent, that would be the same issa as men to women. There's another point that has to be mentioned. It's a challenging point, and again, I'm going to say the halachas. If someone feels that he could do better, tavei la bracha. The question is, basically, where are we allowed to travel in our times? We live in something that gives new meaning to Erev HaSa'aretz. I think Mitzrayim would be proud of us, you know. And basically, where are you allowed to go? So the halacha in the Gemara in Bava Basra, a strictly Chayish Mishpat issue, that if someone has a woman's a tenant in a house, or a partner actually, she's allowed to wash the laundry at home, even though it makes a mess and you know, it's not so good for the home. Because, and the Gemara's Lashon is, Ein darkon shabnois Yisrael lizbazois ala kvisa. The non-Jewish women washed by the river, and they had it very easy, but they had to compromise on tznius levels. You have to lift up the dress, and they were in an improper position. And the Gemara's Lashon is, although Goyish women did that, but that was unacceptable for a Jewish woman. And again, the Lashon to me, I'm always inspired by every nuance. Ein darkon shel bnois Yisrael lizbazois. It's a disgrace. If we would be allowed to, and you walk on the street, don't do it, please. And, you know, you see the women walking, saying, you know, this is disgraceful. It's not nice, it's disgraceful. It's disgusting. You know, lizbazois, it's a bizoy. But the Gemara says it's a disgrace for women to stand by the laundry. Now, an old Yid told me that when he was growing up, a woman that went around dressed improperly got a ticket. A ticket. Had to pay money. And he told me, and you know, he wanted to show me, but I wasn't interested. He said he could show a picture of his mother in a bathing suit. That's how sneezy-sick the bathing suits were. I'm not talking about, you know, 5,000 years ago. In America, women that went improperly dressed got a ticket. At least at some time, people understood that's bizarre. Then the Gemara says a line that is very much important for us. Vekzok the Gemara, Oitzim Eina Berois Berots, a pasuk in Yeshaya. What does that mean? He closes his eyes not to look at evil. She'eina mistakel benoshim, she'imedes ala kvisa. He doesn't look at women when they're, again, improperly positioned during their, when they're making a laundry. Vek the Gemara, Heichi dami, what's going on here? What is the pasuk saying? Oh, he's a big tzaddik. He doesn't look at women when they're laundering. If there's another way to go, you know, he could walk around, but instead he walks by the river. Rasha, he's a Rasha. And of course the Rashbam explains, even if he doesn't look, you walk in a place that's tempting, that's a Rasha. There's no other place to go. So why does he have to close his eyes? Honestly, he has no other choice. That's what the Gemara says. Now you have to realize, you know, when two boys are fighting, and one calls the other, you're a Russia! Okay, he's a Russia. If the Gemara calls you a Russia, not you, Gemara calls someone a Russia, he's a Russia. I mean, Dinah Gemara, he's a Russia. You know, that's like the worst, most devastating accusation that a person could get. So the Gemara calls someone a Rasha walking through a place even though he's not looking. Why? Because he's bringing himself to an Nisayon. He's doing the ultimate damage to himself. You'll say, what's wrong? I'm careful. You know, I'm going to be very careful. What's the problem? You know, the Goyin, it's interesting, the Goyin in his is quoted, and this is in the Keser Reish, Erchis Chaim, sorry, Chaim Volozhin is quoting Erchis Chaim, that when he would go out on the street in Vilna, he would say a tefillah. Hinani hoylech begay talmavis, I'm going in the valley of death, umokam masukin, hoishieni miyetzahara, umichatoyim, umiyavoynois, and he was mispalel, mikirois levavoy. Now, I was not privileged to be in the streets of Vilna during Reb Chaim Volozhin's times, but I'm certain it would be an uplifting experience. But he left his protective teva, the Beis Medrash, he said a tefillah. How many tefillahs do we need walking into our streets? And you're walking indiscriminately? You could go there, and said you go there. You say, what's wrong? I'll tell you what's wrong. Imagine someone's carrying $10 million cash in a suitcase, and he walks through Harlem, and he has no insurance, and he has no weapons, right? Now, you'll say, well, who knows? Maybe they think he has his lunch in the suitcase. Okay, but the man is insane. You don't walk through $10 million with cash without a, you know, weapon and without insurance. Who has an insurance that's good enough for his eyes? The Chinuch, no one should be insulted. The Chinuch writes, even if I give you 1,000 cosigners, don't believe in yourself. The greatest people succumb to sin. And that's what the Gemara is saying, Russia. But what is the other half of the Gemara? Ve'i deleke d'archak achrina, onesu. And the Gemara Taka says that he goes through the streets and he's careful. And that's the tzitkis. He has to go. There's no daka chrina. There's no other way to go. And he's very, very careful where he goes. But what's interesting is the Rashbam says even when a person has to go, he has to be very careful. Lishtamer, the Rashbam Lashin is lahatei seina v'tzaracha. And that's the way a yid has to walk in a place and there's no other choice. The Yad Ramah says, even a Lashon, you have to be boiled a skun even if you look down, not look around. And even it means occasionally bumping into a tree, but you have to be careful. What I saw, what to me was beautiful, Rav Moshe in a tshuva in Chelek Aleph Nun Vav, a brilliant tshuva, where someone asked him, is there a din of Yarg Val Yava by Estaklus? So he mentioned this Gemara, and he asked the question. You know, the question I think that we all have, for a person has to be willing to give up all his money not to do a lav. For an asay, there has to be a chaymish. Why do we so nonchalantly say it? There's no daga chrina, you're allowed to go. And even if you're careful, but you know, why are you allowed to go through the streets? So Rav Moshe says, you're allowed to rely on yourself that if you know it's wrong and you have no other choice and you're careful and you will be focused not to be focused and there's no other choice, you're allowed to rely on yourself. And Rav Moshe says this lashon, but when there's no tzorich, kigoyin be'ikah darka chrina, v'uadin kishein le tzorich le'elach sham, d'hoylech rak le'til, af kishaleka darka achrina, hu asa lismechalat. Now, if you have to go, you have to go. Then you have to be careful, and you have to put on high alert. If you don't have to go, and his lashon is, even if you're going for a teal, then you can't put yourself in this challenging situation. Now, this in itself needs a hesbah. You know, the Chafetz Chaim, in our Heilige Chafetz Chaim, in Klal Vav Yudalit, talking about Lashon Hara, but he does bring up our Gemara, and he asks a question. The Gemara says in Pesachim Lahalacha, that's Chaf Hei, Hano Habola Odom Bal Korchoi, a person that has he has no other choice. For example, he's walking through a street and there's the aroma, the reyach of Avodah Zarah. The Avodah Zarah is making some kind of incense and has a very pleasant fragrance. So even though it's asa, it's an issa deraisa, it's hanof Avodah Zarah, if there's no other choice, he's allowed to walk through the streets, lo yefshu leike mechabim. So Freg de Chafetz Chaim, and he writes, it bothered me a long time, ayanti harbe b'hai kushya. So why is our Gemara and Bava Basra seem to be more machman than that? Leka dark achina Russia. Why? He has to go. He's not going to look. Why is it Russia? He has no other choice. Says the Chafetz Chaim, apparently, and listen to the insight, that Arayis, because Nafshalad Mechamdosan, Tzarech Lahach Meyoysa. And it's really nothing less than mind-boggling. On Issa the Raisa of Avodah Chazal waved, laughs like a Mechavan. When you're talking about Kedusha, about Shmira Senayim, there's no room for leniency. Loy Efshav like a Mechavan is Russia. Because if you could avoid it, you have to avoid it. And that's really the springboard to the next group of questions I want to talk about. Just simple questions and answers that people ask about Shmira Senayim, how to apply it Lamaisa. Klal number one is, if it's avoidable, it's not a tzitkas, it's ikkud din. You know, at least where I come from, I don't let my boys step into CVS or Rite Aid, these geisha stores, because the improper magazines are all over the place, and who are we to want to know what they're looking at? It's beyond me how people let our children go into public libraries, that with a press of a button, you could access the Schei Shel Gehenna. Now, should adults go there? That's, you know, your decision. But to send children, I don't mean little babies, I mean children, these places that harbe chalolim hipila, trust me. You know, just a few moments in a library in one of these stores that have these magazines that are atrocious. You know, you're talking about that suicide. That's literally a spiritual suicide. This is something that's obvious. I mean, you don't have to be too much of a lamdin that to have an internet without a filter is ikka darka chvina Russia. You have a way of avoiding the situation. So how could you not? Now, these are halachas. You know, I remember I was once by Abelsky's Erev Rosh Hashanah Shir, Shmuz. And he was talking about Rosh Hashanah preparing, and he says, I want to ask you a question. He had a very colorful way of talking. Why do you wear shoes? This is Erev Rosh Hashanah. Why? I don't know. You wear shoes because you have to walk. But I'll tell you another reason. When you walk in the street, look at your shoes. Now, this goes back years ago, but it left an impression. You know, you walk in the street, you know, we have to hope that lekad akachina. But that's not the end of the story. We have to keep our eyes focused. You know, people that drive. Now, please don't drive with your eyes closed. But everybody else in the car, you know, I came here from Brooklyn. I went through the ugliness of New York City. You know, it's just atrocious. So I keep my eyes on my notes, on my whatever. But the driver has to look, and hopefully he has like a doctrine. But if you're sitting in the car, if you're privileged to be driven, and someone drives you, you know, it's suicide. The Pelayoyitz writes how careful we have to be with eyes. Heim kalei hamaretz. They go very quickly. Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz writes that in Kelm, there were two sides of the street, for women and for men. And when a woman was on the men's side, it was tantamount to the Issa of Yichud. So he writes, I was Shabbos, we made a simcha, my son married the Matasio Solomon's granddaughter. So I had time to talk to her, Matasio's son. Just came, in fact, he's headed back ready to Gateshead. In Gateshead, there are times in stores for men, for boys, and for girls. And the storekeepers will not sell you an item if it's the girl's time. Now this is Gateshead, it's not a Chassidish city in any way. It's a Yiddish city. It has nothing to do with Chassidus. You know, people think Shmir Sinayim is a Chassidish thing, and it's something to do with Me'asharim. In Gateshead, to this day, you can't buy something on a woman's time. Okay, that can't be done. But the attitude, you know, you get on a bus, you get on a train, you get on a plane, choose a seat, to shop, where to shop. Now, I'm not saying, you know, you have to shop and a Jewish store has a certain shmir to it. A non-Jewish store has its temptations. It's a thought. Maybe we should shop Jewish so we don't have to have these temptations. Maybe that's lekadak achrina. Maybe the other stores are too expensive. I'm leaving that to you, but at least it should be a thought. How to travel. I saw a safer. He says if you travel usually with mass transit and you realize during the summer it's difficult. If you take a car service, you could use the money, maisa money for that. That's a mitzvah. I think it's a wonderful psak. If you don't want to spend your own money, and otherwise you won't do it, you know, why not? That's Yiddishkeit. A chalamoy trip, going in a place where there's preetzes, is something a little of an issue. And I also have children, and I also know that if I stay on chalamoy too long, I will probably lose my mind, like you all know, you know, with the kids. So you have to go someplace. But all I can tell you is Rav Moshe in that tshuva says, Tiyul is an example of Ikadar Kachina. I found others, the Sefer Histaklus Balacha, a wonderful Sefer Perek Dalet, Halacha Zayin, and Rav Sternbach in his tshuvas, Chelek Dalet, Reish Tzadik Zayin, all say, well, if you have an, you know, you have another place to go, even though the second place might as nice as the first place, that's Ikadar Kachina. I did see a Sefer, someone gave me a Sefer, Shili Kaita, written by someone in Eretz Yisrael, and he says, well, if this trip is a better one than the other trip, so that's all, that would be considered Lekadar Kachin. Okay, I didn't find it convincing. If you did, and you want to rely on that, that's your prerogative. But the point is, the message is, we approach Kola Tarakula with such a devotion. I mean, the person that drove me says he loves Pesach. That's what he told me. They're such sincere, growing people. That's what you people are. And, you know, we grow in everything. We should be growing in Shmiras Hanayim. You know, I personally felt that, you know, this is an opportunity for me. I told my children, you know something? This Chalamoid, we're not going that place because it's hot. Let's go someplace else. I want to keep your eyes pure. And I used it as an opportunity. The Asay Toiv, the impression that it made was a lasting one. I told them, I'd love to go also, but we have our eye, we have to watch them. And when we do go on a trip, and when we're coming to a situation that all of a sudden is a little challenging, I say in a joking way, Shmiras and I am alert. And my kids know what that means. And we have wonderful trips. It doesn't in any way, you know, infringe on the excitement of it. But, you know, if someone would be tempting you with a ham sandwich, you wouldn't take it. So why would we take another Issa? So choose a trip properly, perhaps use it as an opportunity, a springboard for this growth. Of course, when a person has to travel someplace, fill your mind with Torah, fill your heart with Torah. That's a certainly a big skula. You think of something, you hear a tape, you know, when you're listening to the haibana words of Divrei Torah, everything else is silly. A tefillah is appropriate. That's a tefillah. A person knows he has to travel out of town on business. He has to go. You say a tefillah in Shemayin Esra, and we mean it. We want to keep our purity. You know, that's also a good idea. Another practical bit of advice, as we mentioned earlier, realize it's not worth it. You know, the Baal HaMusa have an approach, Maktin HaNasayin Magdal HaMuna. In other words, you could say, don't smoke because it's asa. That's not going to get you too far. Or you could say, like it says in the cigarette, smoking kills. You don't want to be 6 feet under, right? That's it. Talk to yourself. Talk to the Gashmias. Maktin HaNasayin, if you reduce the Nasayin, Magdil HaMuna, you grow an Amuna. I think the most meaningful, effective approach in Shmiras Hanayim is realize it's not worth it. You're not satisfying yourself in any way. It's just, as I said, the beginning of an end. You're going into a very dark tunnel that gets darker and darker. Because, Miyash Leimona, human nature's Reitz Messiah. The person that lives with that beauty of Kedusha has this contentment in what he has. It's mamish like the Mepharshim say, it's salty water. And then you could start in a tremendous growth in Shmiras Hanayim, which I think is really my point for today, not to stress the bad, 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 but to stress the good, good, good. You know, it has been said that great people steig because of Kedusha. We're talking about this. Yo Salman, his son told me about how focused his father is about Kedusha, how that's so much central in his theme and what he gives over. You see a person that literally is ein gesund. He came not so long ago, less than 18 years ago, he came from England and he became the Mashgiach of Klal Yisrael. He became the greatest influence in Klal Yisrael. That's the growth of Kedusha, of Shmiras Hanayim. You know, I remember when I was a young bacha, one of my The Mashgiach, I always remember Moshe Wolfson told us, you know, sometimes you see a scene, see something, and you quickly close your eyes, and you feel bad because you had a Yetzirah. That's not a Yetzirah. That's a mitzvah. If someone's walking or driving, whatever it is, and there's a billboard, and he closes his eyes, that's a key in mitzvah derais. Remember what he said? It says, the surah is not given to Puerto Ricans. It's a mitzvah derais. Now, of course, al tivieno de nesayin, but when you have the nesayin and you close your eye, that's a mitzvah derais. You know, there's a well-known scholar that when someone sees an improper scene and he closes his eyes, let him daven at that moment for whatever's very dear to him. It might be a shidduch, a gezunt, it might be panosa. I always wondered, you know, I'm not a big fan of schoolers, I mean, the illegitimate ones, that is. But this is legitimate. What's the mechanics of it? You see a scene, you close your eyes, you daven. You know, what does the davening have to do with the scene? So I read in a beautiful sefer, it's a simple give and take. Listen to this. It says in the Derech Eretz Rabbah Perik Aleph, it's in the back of the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, he sees an improper scene and he closes his eyes. At that moment, he's zoichu mekabel pnei Hashchina. Shenema, the pasuk in Yeshaya that I mentioned earlier, oitzam einav mirois b'roi, he closes his eyes. Maksiv basrei melech b'yofyoi sechazena einecha. You close your eyes, melech b'yofyoi, the Baruch Hashem, with all his glory, you will be able to see. So, if that's the case, it's so poshut. Imagine you're walking or you're driving and you see a billboard and you close your eyes. You look at the road, not up. At that moment, we have to have the emuna, zayich v'roya p'nei Hashchina. Rabbi Yisai, you're standing face to face with Shechina HaKadosha. Is there a more conducive time to daven? Imagine all of a sudden they throw you into Kaviyachu in the Rosh Hashanah's Pamalia delay and say, ask me one thing, go ahead, I'm ready. Quick, 60 seconds. That's every time you close your eyes to an improper scene. You're standing face to face with the Shechina. Is there a more appropriate time for davening? Which fool wants to give that up? And I said this to the Baruch Hu, I'll say this here also. We focus about the bad, 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 but there's a good part of it. The stipple in a letter in Krayin Adigas Aleph Yud Gimel, the Svarma Meirich about the Goydel Chet, but they didn't talk enough about the Goydel Kedusha that one could grow when he's careful. You know, that's what we have to hear. The Nefesh Chaim writes, when someone looks something improper, like Machnes Zoyne Bebeis Kodesh HaKadoshim Rachmono Litzlon. But he also says that when someone is careful, he's building worlds. He says, Al Tikri Bainoyach Ala Bainoyach, he's building worlds with Kedusha, with Shmira Seinayim. The Zoya teaches Baruch Hashem Alochav Eluhem Tzadikim Ba'aretz. Someone that's careful with Shmira Seinayim, the Zoya calls him a Malach. He's living in this world that reeks with depravity, and he's still focused on what's Kedusha. You know, someone once blurted out to me, he said, it's not fair. Why do I have to live in this world? It's not right. My grandfather, they lived in a world of Kedusha. Even within the Goyim, there was a level of Kedusha. There wasn't this tumah that you see, the preachers that you see. And I told him what I'm going to tell you. I told him the Gemara. Gemara says in Tainis Daf Chaf Aleph, Abba Umna was a doctor. And he got regards from Shemayim every single day, whatever that means, but it's obviously something very special. And Abaya, the Heilige Amor Abaya, got the same regards only once a week. And Abaya felt very hurt. Not that he needed to covet, but he felt an indication that he's lacking in his avoida, that a doctor surpasses him. So the Gemara says, the response was, no, don't worry, there's nothing wrong with you, Abaya. But the doctor that deals with women on a daily basis, and in spite of that maintain the highest level of tznius, he deserves the daily regards from the Ribbono Shel Olam. I learned the Gemara and I didn't understand it. Abaya was a Rosh Hashiva. That's his fault that he didn't have contact with women. And the doctor gets more than Abaya. You know what the answer is, Abai saying? Libi Oimali. Abaya had all the tzchusim of Torah. But this doctor had one schus. Oitzem einav b'roiz b'ra. Maksiv basrei, melech b'yofi sechazen einach. I think it's poshit. He got regards on Bar Yoyalim because he was living with Bar Yoyalim on a very intense level. That every moment was a struggle, and he didn't lose his sensitivity. That's the greatness. He didn't become desensitized. I do it every day, so, you know, it becomes natural. No, it's unnatural. He did it on a daily basis, and he maintained that heightened sensitivity, and that's why he was zeicha to regards every single day more than Abaya. Tyre Eden were living in a world that's best described as haroya, one big haroya dvar erva. And it's an opportunity. They say a story about this fellow who was driving and he got lost, and it was almost Shabbos. He calls Rav, Rav, help, I'm lost, I don't have to do it. Rav says, wait a minute. A Yid's not lost. A Yid is sent. We were sent to Erva Sa'aretz. We were sent to a world described as Haroya Dvar Erva. And we were sent with a sacred mission. To be the Abba Umnas of our door. To be people that have to go out in this world on a daily basis, and in spite of that, or maybe because of that, maintain the highest level of Kedusha and Tahara. Chazanish once said, what's a tzaddik yisoyed oylam? When there's an Asoyan and no one knows if he will succumb or not, and he succeeds. At that moment, he's a tzaddik yisoyed oylam. That's Yosef HaTzaddik, and that's our opportunity. Like I said earlier, if you want to do something and you're not allowed to, that's challenging. But if you want to do something and on the same side you want not to, then you're going to succeed. We have to feel the midah toiva of overcoming nisyonos. Rav Segel once said something so precious. He said, how does he work on taivas achila? Which is really not for us, but he was on that level. He says, I have more taiva, this is what he says, I have more taiva not eating the food than the pleasure from eating the food. Yeah? In other words, he feels in control of himself. So, the piece of cake is delicious. What's more delicious is that I control myself. The piece of cake does not dominate me in my life. We have to gain an appreciation that I have more pleasure not looking than looking. And that could be, you should know, that's true. If we feel the sacredness of overcoming an Nisoyan, it happens. Rabbi Tzisiel Zayin Gizut Nishtag told the story, and I know with whom it happened. I'm not going to say the name, but it's a story, a first-hand story. Today he's one of the greatest Kir V'chaykim in this people in this world. He was 18 years old. He grew up in a very anti-religious kibbutz, and he was a systematic Baal type. This is in his own words. And he set out on a mission to enjoy every taiva in Olam Hazeh. Systematically. He went from place to place. He heard about some place in Haifa that had the most attractive taiva imaginable. So he went there, and he came to a building, and he saw the picture in front, and he realized that he has the right address. And just then he saw a religious Jew that obviously was in the wrong place in the wrong time, took a wrong turn. And the religious Jew saw that for a moment, and he really slammed his eyes closed in a very pronounced way and went the other way. So this Baal type, this 18-year-old boy, this boy seeking, he said, I came all the way from my kibbutz to Haifa for this uncontrollable taiva. And this fella has it and he runs away. That means there must be a better taiva than this. It's a true story. He followed that person. Not physically, but he found out where he comes from, and he found the biggest pleasure in a Beis Medrash. Okay, I'm not going to say his name, given that I should, but Rabbi Tzio said this story, and it's well known, one of the greatest Mekarav V'chaykim of our door, that's where he began. He replaced a shallow taiva with a true taiva. And if I could just suggest that, that's the approach. Ourselves, our children, our grandchildren. Give them the feeling of triumph, of victory. Another time we don't look, Melech b'yof yisech hazen einecha. Not just the bad, 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 but the positive, good, every single time is accruing in Shemayim. And let me just be messiahing with something. I was reminded of it recently. I was away for a Shabbos, and the Baal Koira was someone I knew 40 years ago. I hadn't seen him in a long, long time. His first name is Moshe, I'm not going to say his last name. Moshe was a little older than me, and he was going blind. He was a young man with a terrible eye disease. He was going blind. The doctor says, you have a few more weeks, enjoy what you can. So he ran to the sainted Riblitzer Rebbe, Big Baal Moifist, and told the Rebbe, mom is crying, he's losing his sight. The Rebbe looks at him and says, don't worry, just lean from the Torah, you'll be okay. I saw him again close to 40 years later on the Shabbos that I spent, and he's laning, he's still going strong. He laned by Shachas, he laned by Mincha, and boy does he see. And I was thinking, do you think he has a hard time laning every week? He lanes every Monday, Thursday, Shabbos, and Mincha. He's ensuring his eyesight, so nothing is hard. And how about we have to ensure our eyesight for Netzach Netzachim, not just 70, 80 years? We look forward to Melech B'yof Yosech Zena Einecha. We look forward to seeing the glory, the splendor of the Shechinah Kadosha. We have to have the eyes. We don't want to be blinded by Tumah. We have to have the eyes to be able to intake and to appreciate the Kedusha of Melech B'yof Yosech Zena Einecha. A Pam once said, told a friend of mine, Israel Reisman, that he doesn't think he's going to be able to see Mashiach, but you will. A Pam cried his eyes out for Sech Zene Nenu B'Shuv Chalitziyin Barach, and he wasn't Zoicha. But we will be Zoicha. We have to keep our eyes pure. We need that insurance policy. And the Baruch Zal help, and we should realize the Mida Toiv of it. Again, the positive aspect every time is a victory of chapping around another tefillah. And we should be zeicha to keep our eyes pure, and we'll be zeicha b'sech zenei neina b'shuv chalitziyah. And thank you all very much. Thank you very much. Sorry. Okay, that's what you want.